evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than thinking a fake news article is real.
Oh.
You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com, clicking chat and listen live, or if you're listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com. Go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. If you wish to call in, and you most certainly can during the first part of the show, and the third if you choose, 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. We'll put that in the chat room for you. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Elix.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Pip. And Joe Curry will be here whenever Joe Curry feels like it.
That's right.
Joe will be here soon, hopefully. On the show tonight, the most annoying phrases of 2016, how to spot fake news articles, comics in the news featuring social media outrage, drunks in the news featuring good news for men and their posse. Donald Trump will be writing his inauguration speech, and we've gotten our hands on it, and we'll share that with you. And Ann Jackson emails me a surprise. And a little bit, I'll be talking about some unfortunate news that kind of got my year off to not the start I wanted. But before we go, Debbie Downery, because Joe might want to comment a little bit if he gets here soon. You said you got something going on, Pip.
Well, I was in a Starbucks today, and I was getting, you know, I was done and I was getting ready to go back to work. And I turned and really quickly, this guy that had been sitting behind me the whole time, I finally caught a glimpse of him and something looked strange.
Was it his penis being out?
Yeah, that looked fine.
Okay.
That was very enticing, actually.
I find the same thing when I encounter that at a Panera.
Ah, Panera, bread bowl, penis.
Both good.
Both good. Don't have the chowder.
Both filling.
Something looked odd, and I had to do a double take. And he wasn't wearing a hat. He was wearing hair, but spray painted on.
Oh, they still make that, the spray paint hair?
Apparently they do.
What was that called?
I don't remember.
I remember that.
You remember?
It was like hair in a can.
Yeah. Yes. I saw somebody use it once, but it was during community theater, and it was doing it for a role. So
yeah.
You know, so
it only has to last like an hour or two, and you're not trying to woo anybody or pass as being real.
Right. I mean, because from the audience, it looked passable. But you're not expecting...
Unless there was a leak in the theater. It started tripping on it. He's melting!
Oh, my God, look!
This isn't the Wizard of Oz. I don't understand.
It's like, look at how much mascara he must have been wearing. Look
on
at that.
On his head? That's odd.
Yeah.
And on his chest?
Yeah. No, it was, we thought it looked passable on stage, you know, and nobody was getting up and really seeing up close. But as I turned, I was face to face with the horror.
Like, I don't even know how you would spot that. I mean.
Well, because.
Was it like a mostly bald head?
It was I didn't want to stand there and go, oh my God, standing over him. But I was looking. And I was like, what is wrong with this picture?
I'll tell you what I like. Was this yesterday?
Today.
Today. That's what I'll tell you what I like about this guy, and I'll let you continue. This is a man with balls. This is a man that does not give a shit. And you know why? Because he's going with spray can and hair in public anyway. But he's doing it on a rainy day. He's taking chances.
Thank you.
He says, I don't give a shit.
This guy has gigantic ones because...
Which, coincidentally enough, he spray painted down there, too. Just for shadowing. Because it makes the penis look bigger if
is
you shadow it properly.
Yes.
You got to shadow the balls to make the penis look bigger.
Oh, yeah. What do they
it's an artistic technique.
What do they call that when, you know, like Kardashians and other people do that with
their
face?
I think it's
face.
called foreskin shadowing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what the Kardashians do.
Yes.
No, it's like some kind of... sculpting or
the Kardashians
I don't know.
Wax.
Well,
they have to wax that mustache.
Oh, I'm sure they have to wax everything.
Yeah, they're hairy women.
Well, they are from a tribe that would probably tend towards hairy. So
yeah,
I
Armenians
imagine.
Are hairy people.
Yes, you
That's
know.
Fine.
So I'm thinking, yes,
your Italians are hairy. Your Jews are hairy. Your Armenians are hairy. Asians, not so much.
No. I'm
Irish, not so much.
Well, you know, in spurts. Actually, the problem is
in
not
tufts,
so
mu- if you
not,
will.
Yes, not so much hairy, but it comes in strange tufts and not even growth. It not pretty. Anyway, I'm sorry, my people, but it's true, and you know it.
I threw my people under the brush.
I know you. I see what you did there.
I'm a comic artist.
But the guy, it looked like he was definitely more bald than hairy.
He's got to be an older guy.
He didn't seem to be that old. He seemed maybe in his 50s or something.
Really? And he already doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
that's
well,
pretty old.
I think he gives a shit, but he just went the wrong way.
Nah. You're not giving a shit when you make that move.
But it's like he didn't go with like a lighter color maybe to try to blend.
Are we fucking disconnected from the internet?
Hold are on. We?
All right. Yeah, we're back. I think. Let's see if everything's working.
Okay.
Test. Yeah, everything's
working.
That was weird.
Okay, that was weird.
What? Our network was down.
Oh, all right.
Oh, Joe really walked in. I'm so glad the internet crapped itself to give Joe a time to get here. That was nice of our technical difficulties to kick in.
Actually, it did it just for Joe.
Exactly. You know what? They wanted Joe here to be for most of the show. The internet said, you know what? We haven't had Joe for most of the first segment in a while. Let's just stop.
I know.
Let's stop and wait for Joe to get here. Joe and his little gremlins working at the cable company.
I heard the frantic pace of feet coming up the stairs and down the stairs. I'm like, something ain't good.
Yeah, he knew it wasn't a welcoming for you. He knew it wasn't me racing to the window like a puppy dog. Is the master going to be here?
Joe here.
Head of the ridge like a jackal, but no.
No, it was not about you. But Pip was talking to us about hair in a can.
Yes.
Hair in a can.
Yeah, remember that stuff that they used to sell on TV for bald people?
Oh, yeah, that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, Pip encountered such a person today.
I did. I thought that was dead, but no.
No, just their follicles.
Yeah, I was in Starbucks, and I turned around, and the guy has got, clearly something was going on there, because his hair was like one black, like, circle on his head.
My God.
It just looked wrong, so I took a double take, hoping that he wouldn't see me. And I knew that it was that spray stuff right away because he, like, covered. He got a lot of coverage in the front and to the middle. But towards the back, it was spotty.
Because he couldn't reach.
He couldn't see.
Stupid.
So you can see, like, individual little circles the spraying.
I didn't know.
When you spray it, it's
exactly.
I never thought of there being a reach aspect to it.
Yeah, it had to be a reach accent.
And he couldn't see, so it's like it's black, spotty.
Oh.
As he goes.
Well, maybe those were just raindrops. Maybe that's just where the water hit him.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, but it was.
You gotta varnish your head if you're gonna wear that. You really gotta waterproof your head.
And I just thought, you know what, dude, wear a hat, buy a rug. Do something.
Well, maybe,
do not spray paint your head.
Maybe he was a guy on a job interview, and he knows that there's a bias against bald people and fat
people.
Don't
go like that.
Well, you know what? Desperate times. He's out of work. He doesn't have money.
Yeah, still, even if there's a bias, the guy comes in. How are you doing? What the fuck is that?
Well, Lisa says there's no money for a transplant, but I'm like, yeah, I know that there's no money. Not people have a lot of money for the kind of transplant and everything. Then just,
Don't judge.
Then just either live with it, shave it, buy a rug, wear a hat.
No, the toupee. You can't go toupee anymore.
Why not?
No. Unless you're a comic and that's going to be your closing bit. As you flip it up and it says hello. Like,
yeah, and it should be shot as you flip it up.
Exactly.
You're going to do that shit.
Exactly. The toupee is... No, you either got to go... The new method is you shave it all.
Yeah.
You shave it all or you get the hair transplant.
Well,
that's what you got to do. Those are the moves.
Yeah, and just absolutely not. No, what he was doing. No.
Bad bald head.
Absolutely not. No.
That was a whole lot of no.
That's funny.
That it was wearing
on
his head.
Oh God,
poor guy. Thought he looked good. Had it together.
So I was thinking.
And then you're judging him.
Well, I was thinking about it when I got here that I wanted to talk about this, and then Davin has the TV on when I first get here, and what's on the television? But this. Commercial for Flex Seal.
I use that stuff. I not on my head. I use it in my basement because my basement looks like the engine room of the Titanic sometimes. So I had to put that Flex
Much
Seal
like
stuff
your marriage.
Down. Yeah.
But that's what I was thinking is that maybe he could have used some Flex Seal on a rainy day, and then I wouldn't have been able to spot the problem.
Yeah, but then it might have beat it up like turtle wax.
Yeah, when your hair's beating up, it's either like too much product.
I had a, you know what? Like I said,
oh Joe, you colored your hair too.
Oh, I like that color.
He went flesh tone.
But I had to go through all that. So it's a very traumatic thing when you lose your hair.
You had a good head of hair as a young man.
I did. And I
had professional. You had 80s professional wrestler hair.
I did. I had a good head of hair, and then I started.
Didn't last long.
I started losing it when I was about 23.
That's young.
Wow.
And I was a little small, you know, a little ball patch, and you know.
Divot.
And
a
I went
divot. Yeah. Like somebody whacked him like he's a golf horse.
And I went through everything. I mean, I had a permed. Mm-hmm. I went to the Anagen Hair Clinic where I sprayed all this shit all over my hair and spent
a
lot of money.
Clinic.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to do?
It's supposed to help grow hair.
How'd that work out?
Not good. So
I guess this is like before Yelp where you can look things up and see what the reviews are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it got to the point where it was 1995. Rockout had a gig, and Joe Cumia goes, this weekend, man, we're all going to shave our heads. You know, I get crew cuts and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, you're the boss. And I did. And I go, this doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
And I left it that way, and I grew it back when I got married. I should have left it that way. And
well, you need something to rip out.
Yeah. And then after that, I shaved it again, and I've always had it that way. So it's all, yeah, I've always had it that way. But I miss hair. I miss hair.
You still have it on your back.
Yeah, plenty of, yeah, but that's not where I want.
You still rub your fingers through it.
I swear to God, I think when you finally get to up to the you finally cross over and you meet God, God is going to have hair out of his ears and it's all going to be decorated.
Of course he's
and I'm
going to
go,
God.
Of course. Yeah, you don't want it on your head. You want it out of your ears. I've been trying to convince people of this for centuries. Nobody listens. They try to fight it.
Is that why that happens?
No.
No.
No. No, God is going to look well coiffed.
Yeah, he got him. He's
God is going to look like Matthew McConaughey in those like Lincoln or Buick commercials. He's going to be suave like that.
The only thing about that is that he's a creepy God because those commercials with Matthew
McConaughey.
Have
you seen some of the things he does? God, I'm talking about.
I know he's not. Yeah, but he's not the Queen of the May sometimes. But you know, but those Lincoln commercials. Yeah,
they're terrible. Yeah,
yeah, imagine terrible. You're hitchhiking and Matthew McConaughey picks you up. Can you let me off here, please?
You need a restraining order.
The car is nice. I like a Lincoln. It's nice. Give me the.
No.
His car.
You think there's a runaway prostitute teen in the trunk when he's doing? Yeah,
I would be thrilled until he started speaking the way he does in those commercials. Then I'd be like, let me out.
No,
let
he
me
looks
out.
Good, but when he starts talking,
oh, because
he goes
speaking. I was driving a Lincoln before it was cool. No, when was the Lincoln was not driving cool? Driving a Kia is not cool.
You know, cool, the 1800s.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, if those things backfired. You didn't want them.
Yeah, yeah, funny.
Thank you. Once in a while. Historical jokes. It's my strength. Yeah.
Get a gig on the History Channel.
Sure. It's my niche in between Nazis and UFOs. We'll have a half-hour stand-up special.
On assassinations.
Yeah.
Stupid on history. Hey, look, stupid's on. I'll watch.
You're going to watch anyway. These UFOs and Nazis, two of your favorite things.
Yeah. So that was my my... Judgy McJudgerson moment for the
Judgy
day.
Judgy McJudgerson. All right.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Oh, I really did.
But
think
sometimes
that was
people don't
look.
Realize, you know, how bad their toupee looks, or you know, it's you know,
because we're not self-aware.
No. Well, not I, or don't have friends. No,
well, our asshole ones that'll let you know right off the bat.
Yeah. Right. It's like, are you kidding me? You're going out in public like that? Are you kidding me?
The best way to go about life is to always assume you look like shit. It keeps you humble. And you're always trying to make yourself look better. It's really the best way to do things.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I was at a flea market one time with my friend Barbara.
There was room in your trunk for
not
more
Barbara.
Space.
Yes, Barbara.
Barbara, Jesus.
Big fan of Barbara.
Yeah. Barbara rules.
We were
Barbaran.
we were walking around, and all of a sudden I saw this woman who she had dark skin, and she chose to wear these very tight, thin, yellow stretchy pants like culottes, like shorts, you know, and it just looked like she had stretched some yellow plastic over cottage cheese, and
I'll kill an appetite.
I looked
That'll
at Barbara and I said,
yeah.
If I ever leave the house looking like that, you must turn into the point at the house and say, go.
You always look
back.
You always look put together, Pip. You always do. I mean, sometimes you're covered in cat piss, but you look put together. Yeah.
Just don't get close to me.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
You always look good. You always look like you got it together.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You very much.
Oh, I'm curious about something. What happened to the old Helix mobile? I see there's a new Helix mobile.
No, don't start with that.
Oh.
She'll tell you on the break. Don't go there.
Yeah.
It's a touchy subject. Like a man spray painting his
Does
head.
Anybody want worms? I opened a can.
Yeah.
Shit.
just tell you, man. Let's just say it wasn't fit for public discourse.
Yes, okay. Let's just say that.
Because when she in the middle of the story, I go, you know, this would have been good for the radio. And she's like, no, a certain conversation has to happen first. I'm like, well, I hear all my shit here.
Not me. You never hear anything about my.
No. Hey, right. It looks like we're off the air again. Are we? Are we? My internet seems to have like said, no, none for you.
Hmm. No, I think we're on.
We're good? Okay, because yeah. The chat room is just like, stop dead for me. So I don't know if that means that you're having issues or is it just me? Because it happened before.
No, that wasn't it, but I do have to let somebody know that we're not on their air.
Oh, okay.
No.
But everything else seems to be working properly.
Okay.
So before I get to what I want to talk about, Joe, is there anything going on with you? Or not?
That much. You know, we're going to get the house back on the market in another couple of weeks, and I'm going to be very aggressive about it because I got to get out of there because I'm going to angle somebody.
Don't say it on the air because then we are accessories before the fact.
Yeah, no, it's just getting very difficult to live with this person.
What person might that be?
Would be the co-owner.
Yeah, the co-owner.
The co-owner, which she, I'll get a load of this. She got a part-time job filing. Mm. All right? And I'm talking.
Divorce papers?
No. So I'm and she wouldn't give me a check for expenses because she didn't feel that she had to. So I had to cheerfully explain to her that.
Yeah. I would love to be a fly on the wall for the conversation.
Yeah, because she said that she's not going to get anything when we sell the house, so why should she have to pay the expenses? And I explained to her that she sits home all day, watches TV, has heat, has light, electricity.
And your company.
And medical coverage.
And your sparkling personality.
And my sparkling personality, all of which is that that she has to pay for.
Yeah.
So while we're discussing all this, I go, I thought you had a part-time job. And she says, well, no. I left because I've got very bad. I couldn't stay during the assignment because I have very bad arthritis in my knee. I might have to get a knee operation. And I'm like, okay. I go, what does your knee have to do with filing? I go, I have filed for years. Never once have I said, you know what? What would I do without my knee?
You know? Well, no, I'll have the defense for her. Sometimes some of the filing cabinets, they're lower. Mm-hmm. And you can't bend to put the stuff in there. Plus, it's always debatable knee. If you're filing under knee, do you go under K or N? So there's a lot of issues where knees could come into filing, Joe. Don't be so judgmental.
You
like
go under F for foreclosure. I go, that's what
I'm sorry, you're going to go with another F word.
Yeah. Evacuation.
But what does her knee hurting have to do with paying the bills if she has a job?
Well, she doesn't have a job anyway because she left the assignment. She quit the assignment because she couldn't do it.
If you can't do filing, there's probably not much you can do.
Yeah, you're pretty useless at that.
Although
point.
The alphabet is challenging.
Yeah, you can't take
but,
from N.
But she can run up and down the hall all night long. You know what it's like when I go into my music room and I jump in a coma bed and I just hear this. It's like trying to fall asleep in Sing Sing with the jailer going back and forth.
Literally all, running?
No, all, not run, but it sounds like it. She's going up and down the hall all night long. All
what?
Night long, she goes up and down the hall and stuff like that. She's up all night.
I don't understand how she desperately needed a job. She's not taking this seriously.
No, she's not. And the thing is,
that's the problem.
And I got up again, and I told her at 1:30 in the morning, what is going on here? I'm doing the dishes. I go, then go to bed. Well, the dishwasher isn't working right. So what has that got to do with the being up at night? You were home all day. You could have done this during the day. But you're up at night running electricity with the lights on. You should be in bed. And I've had this discussion with her on numerous occasions. She doesn't care.
Oh my God.
No, she's not taking this thing seriously.
No, not at all.
No, I mean, if you quit if you've been looking for a job and then you leave that job filing of all things due to a knee injury, I mean, you got to kind of tough it out.
Do you and you want to say I have no sympathy for that because
you no sympathy?
No,
what?
You want to
tell me more.
I'll tell you why. The Way to the World project with Cammy, we had our Al Rosenblum brought Cammy and I together to write the project.
Okay.
Al had kidney problems with dialysis, commuted to the city day in and day out.
Wow.
Up to his dying day, retired to Florida. He was there a month, but he up to his almost his dying day, he worked. A coworker of mine with kidney cancer worked up to almost her dying day.
Wow.
You know, I've watched a person fight
Doesn't that mean that that's not the right approach? I don't think you have to work to your dying day.
But the thing about it is I've watched people with a work ethic feel that they had to work, and I have this one sitting at home watching Fox News.
I think
sitting,
I think what you have, you are looking at extremes on both sides. You know, working to your dying day is a little much.
Yes.
And looking for a job, finally finding a job, and leaving due to knee injuries when you have to file, that's on the other end of the... I think there's a happy medium.
There must be. But the thing is, she's got this distortion of reality, thinking, I'm not going to get money out of this house, so I don't have to pay anything. How about rent?
Oh, I had a long talk with her because she goes, well, you took money out of the joint account. Yeah, to pay for car repairs, to pay for this. And I go, because you have had a shortfall, she's never given me half of what it cost to live there after she was on the deed. I told she wanted to be on the deed, and I told her, no. But then I finally did a refi, my second refi, and I said, you want to be on the deed, you have to pay half the expenses. She never paid half the expenses. And as everything gone up, had gone up, she never paid any more.
What a practical take on marriage.
Yeah. And she
quite the business arrangement you were hoping for.
Yeah.
All right. Let's, you know what? For that in mind, okay? Should I expect, even if she couldn't, I should expect maybe a meal cooked. Maybe I expect that she dusts. Maybe I expect that the house is in a certain shape.
I would expect a partnership on some level.
And that's what it never was. It never was a partnership.
Yeah.
It never was a partnership. And
nor a business relationship.
Well, we would have been bankrupt.
Well, she's gonna move the job of being married to you to Mexico. Yeah.
Now, listen, I guess it's four years already. When we came back at this time, when we came back to the show from break, because we were on a break, I listened to the replays, and I'm like,
I didn't mean to hook up with her. I didn't know we were on a break.
but I didn't know what planet I was on. Because I couldn't.
I had an idea.
But the thing about it, I just did not know where my marriage was going, what was going on, stuff like that. And it took me 4 years to figure a lot of stuff out.
Right.
And one of it is it never was a partnership. Never was from the start. When we got engaged, we were working on. She never worked on the house. I did. I logged all the hours. I put in 100.
Which is its own special sickness.
I know.
You know me.
I tell you what. I wouldn't want to be married to either one of you.
I logged about, I'd say about 157 hours of work on the house. She logged one.
One?
One hour.
Did you grade your performance?
That was
I really
special.
Could have done better with the caulking. I didn't open well.
Let me tell you, the tiling in the one bathroom, I had to redo it three times to the core.
Well, you were working it out. You were workshopping.
I was learning.
You had to go to tile open mic.
I wish I did. Should have had that at Home Depot. All right, we got a guy who's going to come up. He's going to do this half of the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've seen him. He did some spackling. Joe Curry.
Oh, he spackled that last week. Isn't he going to do a new spackling?
You know what it's like? You think the stuff comes
right
out?
This guy's a hacker. He spackles like Bill.
Oh, I'm going to try to do a spackling. Lady, come back up to the arm spackling.
And I'm spackling. We're caulking.
Oh, my cork! They all steal.
Not in Home Depot. We have alarms on things.
It wasn't a partnership, man.
It certainly was not.
And I worked on it for years. I worked on it for all those, I'd say 17 years before things went bad. I worked on it, and she never did. She never tried. She never tried.
Well, that's certainly a problem.
Yeah.
No, it is. And I can, that leads to a lot of pent-up frustration.
Sure.
When you see couples that there's really an inequitable division of what has to be done.
Right.
I mean, not everybody is particularly handy. Like, not everybody knows how to cook. Like, not everybody's particularly great at cleaning. But you do your bit, And once one person's doing, 75% of all the stuff that it takes to run.
You got to feel like you're in it together.
But
you
she
do.
Never tried to cook. She actually had cookbooks in a cabinet, and I moved them out. She goes, where are my cookbooks? I go, you cookbooks? Your idea of a cookbook is the microwave instructions on a smart ones box. Shut up.
Maybe she was going to try to cook the books.
Yeah.
Well, so someone helpful in the chat room wants me to ask you, why was somebody about to call the cops on you the other night?
Here's a story. Didn't see that coming.
Thanks, helper.
But we at the compound?
No.
That's where those things happen.
However, I explained that night that don't even think of calling the cops because I don't have that kind of money.
You don't have those type of weapons either.
Yeah. No, I started yelling at her. Because we got it on. You weren't gonna. She wasn't gonna pay. I'm not gonna give you money. But and I flipped out. I just started yelling at her, and she said, "Well, I'm gonna call the police." And I go, "You know what?
Call the police. She's a squatter."
And I go, "Yeah." I tell you what. I go, "I have to run out and take care of some things." I go, "I'll be back at 9. Have the cops here." So I go.
Schedule an appointment, Joe. That's not the way the police work.
By the way, she can't be a squatter because her knee would hurt too badly.
That's true too.
So I came home. And I was expecting to see the cops. There were no cops.
Were
you? Yeah.
You think they cleared the schedule to lock up stupid?
Well, Joe said we'd better be there by 9.
They're not afraid of you, Joe.
I'll be back by 9
enough
of the
these
cops
criminals.
Here.
Stupid has an appointment. Somebody get the Periscope. We're going to stream live in case he ever becomes somebody.
Actually, that's a great line. I have to go out. I'm going to be back by 9. Have the cops here by then.
Joe gets Periscope. He uses that to credit next show we do.
Oh, I can see Joanne. You broke my fucking hand. Been there already. Done that.
I know how this
turns
out.
Done.
Come on, let's write something new.
Oh, funny.
Let's workshop.
So she said, well, I called the police, but I didn't press charges.
What, you just want to keep him apprised of the situation? Yes. I'm living with an asshole. I thought you should know. Yeah. Who does that?
Lady, stop calling us. We've heard it
He's
already.
He's called, too. He's not so thrilled with you either.
Let me tell you something. She's called the police to have because she got her car stuck and the police had to shovel her out. She went into...
What?
You can do that?
Yeah, it was Officer Rivera.
All right, guys, put down the guns, take out the shovels.
She had the car stuck in the snow, so she called the cops. The cops shoveled her out of our driveway to get her
going. I'm going to do that. I don't like shoveling.
I'm stuck in my driveway. Sometimes.
Sure, it's called a snowstorm.
Yeah. There was one time that she pulled into a, she was leaving work and then she pulled into another building and she was on the phone with her sister or something like that and they closed the gates and then she had to call the police to come and get her out.
Well, that's different.
That's stupid.
Well, what about the boyfriend? Why didn't he come and shovel her out?
I don't know. I don't think she was seeing him then.
He's a warm weather boyfriend.
What's that? Sorry?
He's a warm weather boyfriend.
Well, he's a Spanish guy, I guess.
That's what I was getting to.
I understand.
Putting you under the despicable spotlight like that, but yes.
The despicable spotlight. Welcome to the despicable spotlight.
Could be a bit. I could see that being a recurring bit.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Now, don't be saying that just because he's Hispanic. You stop that.
What? That wasn't bad. Curveball. I'm off my game tonight. You have to forgive me.
Yeah. It's okay.
All right.
We all have our moments.
What?
We all have our moments.
All right. I don't have to. I want to do this. 2017 did not start the way I wanted to. Did you guys have a good 2016? 2016, last year.
Yeah.
No.
We know when it was. Yeah.
Don't make me call the cops 30, on you.
36 hours ago. I don't really remember.
No. I'll have your ass hauled out of here.
That's any week. That's a 2011, 10.
10, we weren't doing this.
Especially, 11. But especially 2013. But
they didn't want to deal with you.
No. But it was a good year and a bad year. There were, you know, some good things. I mean, the house went on the market. The house didn't sell. That was the bad things. I lost some people. Some friends.
See, I think that's the marker of it. 2015 was a bad year.
Yeah.
You know, my wife lost her father and her aunt very close together.
Right.
That was a bad year. 2016 was actually a pretty good year for us. Mm. You know, always the first top thing. Nobody you love, people, pets, died.
Right.
That's always a good thing.
But you know what? I've been very freaked out about because because I lost a close coworker. Another coworker lost his wife. My boss lost his wife. And the thing about it is, I'm on the phone with my brother. My brother's 84 years old. He's my half brother. And due to the way this holiday worked out, I couldn't get up there.
It was the first time in a while.
I know. You know. So I was talking to him, and I was like. I go, look, John, I can't get up there and stuff like that. And I'm like, he goes, no, don't worry about it. I'll, you know, you get up here when you get up here. And I almost said, I hope you're still there.
Yeah.
You know, now my aunt is 86. I was on the phone with her. At least I talked about, these are the two older people that I have, okay?
Yeah.
So I was talking to my aunt, and I said, look, I'd love to see you, blah, blah, blah. So the good thing is that I'm in Jester's in February. So I'm going to call her up because I told her, I go, well, next time I'm in that club, I go, I'll come up because I
it's
was going
to. It's Jokers now.
Yeah, it's Jokers, yeah. So
Senator Jester's. That'll be a nice treat.
Across the street, I don't see anything.
Just going to roller skate thing.
I'm playing the ball pit.
But I told, you know, I go, I last time I didn't ask because they never come or anything like that. But I told her, I go, look, next time I'm there, I go, I'll, you know, I'll stop up and stuff like that. And you guys want to come out to the show. And 2 days later, I got the gig. So, you know, hopefully I'll go, you know, be able to visit them and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So, you know, you take, you know, I try not to take that stuff for granted anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were complaining about 2016 openly. And you never want to go on their, it's really bad form to go on their, like, page or something. Well, mine was fantastic. Sucks for you.
Yeah, no,
that's bad. That's bad form.
Why would you do that?
But yeah, so, like, you know, when everybody was, like, bitching about 2016, we had it. You know, all things considered, relatively good here.
Well, I had, I did a joke. I was doing
that was the first.
Funny. I was doing a joke New Year's Eve, but I was talking about, like, the family, the people that send you the family letter, and
yes.
There's the pictures. We did this, and when we did this, and I go, it's very nice reading. The pictures are nice, and the lines of cat box. Pretty good. Yeah. That was silence.
Because it's the holidays, and they're not bitter pricks like you. They're still enjoying each other.
Yeah, I guess.
They actually like the company of others.
Yeah. Who does?
People that attend shows.
Oh, yes, they do.
Not anybody here.
No, okay.
Not anybody here. Joe, your phone is going crazy tonight.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I know.
is there a PBA? A PBA? An APP? An AP? I don't you know. Are there letters out for you?
I think the guys at Fragile Sky want to play a couple of songs that we had, but we discussed that, so maybe next time, next week.
Yeah, usually the best time to do it is not during the fucking show. Apparently they don't know how this shit works. And they do know that you have direct access to the person that puts the music together, right? Pretty much 24/7.
Yes. So I will discuss that at rehearsal tomorrow, how Michael picked the songs that he would like, and we will put them on the air.
Oh, working with another Michael. Good luck with that.
No, he's a good Michael.
Well, they're all good Michaels until they're not. Do I have to reserve a seat at the pickle bar?
Don't worry. This Michael knows of the other Michael, and he knows, you know, he's a good Michael.
All right, well, just let them know how these things work, and we'll be happy to play some original Fragile Sky tune next week.
We could do that.
Yeah, we can. I can, because
I know.
Fucking idiots.
How will we ever get this on the air?
It's like he's busy right now and isn't responding. What does he do on Tuesday nights? Because I want to play my music next Tuesday night. Fucking idiot.
I'm surprised Johnny doesn't try me. You play Race Odyssey first.
I play Race Odyssey.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I've played intros of Race Odyssey on the National to get that little bit out there. Race Odyssey's been heard more on this show than any place else outside of Johnny's fucking house and my car when the CD got stuck. But that's neither here nor there.
So we keep sales brisk.
I guess I'm going to like this band because it's the only one that's in the CD player from now on.
And that was the idea.
That's the marketer, that Johnny Race. Anyway, so the goal, I don't really put up big goals for myself for the following year. I don't make myself resolutions. Is that what they call them? Resolutions?
Yeah, resolutions. Yeah.
I don't really try to do those things.
Yeah.
But, you know, the goal was, let's have a good 2017. You know, the wife was happy with her job. She switched positions in it. She was doing very well. I do whatever the fuck I do. The kid was happy. Everybody's happy, healthy. Let's do that for 2017. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
That's all I asked
for. Yeah.
I wiped the slate clean, too. I wiped everything, all the negative, you know, with the house and stuff like that. And I go, all right, fresh start. Mm-hmm. Start from here, you know, and give it a shot. That's all you can do.
Yep. Yeah, well, that kind of ended for me around 9:30 on January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Fucking ended in a...
9:30 in the morning?
No, 9:30 at night. I had most of the good part of a day.
Okay.
For my 2017 to be as good.
It was a good start.
Well, yeah.
Then the sun went down.
Yeah. I got the message that one of my closest friends, Dennis Ross, passed away. You guys know, you met Dennis.
Yeah.
And you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know, listen, I mean, Dennis was never a healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been my friend for close to 20 years. He was never a healthy person. But I'm like, dude, you got to go to the doctor. Because I wanted to have him... I wanted to do a Hell Gigs thing with him on the other project I work on, but he was just coughing. I'm like, I can't have him on the air coughing. He actually was with me when I transitioned from my old radio show to this radio show. I did a show with Dennis.
Oh, okay.
So I got to try to find that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you got to get healthy. But anyway, so Dennis was a Road Warrior comic. But if you don't know what a these are the guys that you don't that are never big stars, mm-hmm. but they're playing every place all over the country, even internationally to some degree, going all over the place, driving through blizzards for bad money. Whatever the bad situation is, they're going to go there and try to figure it out so the people have a good time. Like, Dennis would take gigs, and I'd be like, and I'm a road warrior comic, too. I used to be a lot more of one. But I would, like, take gigs. I'm like, dude, why are you even doing that?
Yeah.
You can't even make money on that. There's no reason to do that. And his last gig was true road warrior fashion. He had a gig for an agency, and in the morning, he fell, which he did a lot. I don't know if it's because of stuff going on with him, his bad legs, or, and by stuff going on, I mean like inside things. I don't mean like a drinking problem or anything like that. I don't want to give that, you know, like
no,
neurological
no,
things.
No, I wasn't even thinking
that. Yeah, but for people listening, like, yeah. I don't know if it was because of neurological things.
Okay.
Or his bad legs, or he's clumsy. Okay. I don't know what it was.
Right.
So Dennis falls in the morning. He has to fly to Canada that day. The dude, he can't even walk.
Oh my
Somehow,
God.
He drags himself to the airport, flies to Canada.
Ugh.
And gets in a fight with the hotel where he's supposed to stay. They tried to extort him. And you know, Dennis is just like, and Dennis needs some time to put himself together because he has a bad stomach. He had Crohn's disease. And if you know anybody who has Crohn's, you know, two ply and toilet paper should be close by.
Mm. Yes.
So he didn't even stay at the hotel. So he goes to the gig. It's a fiasco trying to get an attendant to help him get the car there. Dennis does the gig.
How does he do this when he's having trouble walking?
Because he has that comic warrior mentality that you got to do the gig.
Yeah.
When really, once you fell, gig's over, you call. And I know how hard it is to call that agency and everything. But really, once you fall and you can't walk, gig's over. You can't fly to Canada.
Yeah.
But I understand why he did it. So I don't condemn him for doing that. So he does the gig. Gig goes well. Flies home. And he's in bed. And I guess he blacked out or something, and he hit his head.
Oh, man.
And I heard about it, and he sent me a picture. I'm like, dude, it does not look pretty and everything. So I'm, like, talking to Dan.
Now, when was this? How long ago was this?
A few weeks ago.
Okay.
And I'm talking to him. I'm like, man, you got to go to the doctor. And I'm just thinking, for your legs, you got, because I know he's having trouble walking. Back when we did Iraq and before that, Korea and Japan, he was having problems with his leg. Like, I remember we almost missed our flight to D.C., from Newark to get to Iraq. So I sprinted, and like Dennis is lumbering behind and everything.
Right.
That's why our clothing didn't make it there.
Oh.
But like Dennis does not walk well, and it's just gotten worse. Like even when we were there, I got pictures, I'm sure, of him like crawling onto the stage.
Oh my God.
But he did every show.
Wow.
And they told him he was in a bad way there. This is in 2009. They said, listen, you know what? Why don't you take a day off, get yourself together, recover? And he wouldn't do it because he loved doing the shows and he loved doing it for the soldiers. And it wouldn't have been an issue. Me and the other comic, Sharon, we would have covered the time. It wasn't a big deal. But he wanted to do it. So I get the warrior mentality.
Yeah.
That he has. I mean, and unless you do this for a living, you really don't. You don't get that. I know comics who don't do this for a living. They go through the same things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain pressure that when this is how you pay all your bills.
Mm. Yeah.
So I get it. And Dennis and I and a few others who I don't really have in my life anymore for sickness and other reasons. You know, I don't really have a lot of those people in my life anymore. But I get why Dennis did it. And I'm talking to Dennis and we're joking. We always joked. He always made me laugh. And I'm like, dude, you got to go to the doctor. You know, he didn't want to go. Well, you know, my wife, you know, she's a nurse. I'm going to get the best care here. I'm thinking, yeah, but they got machines. Yeah, I'm not forget about the care. They got machines and they can run tests that can't be done at home.
Right.
So that's the last time, you know, I spoke to him. And then I get a message from a mutual friend that he's in the hospital. So I text him. And at this point, his wife is now handling the phone.
Okay.
And, you know, she's like, he's in the hospital. He's intubated, which means they put tubes down your throat.
Right.
And he's got renal failure. And I don't really know what the gravity of that is. That means kidneys fail.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, they're putting him in dialysis. Hopefully that'll jumpstart his kidneys.
Yeah.
And that was the plan. And I asked if I could come down because I wanted to see him.
Right.
And she said, no, now's not a good time. And I get that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, I got to put, you know, my impulses and what I need aside because it's less important.
Yeah.
Right. But that's very grown up of you to realize.
But yeah, I'm not going to fucking yell at his wife on a fucking text message. How dare you keep me away from your husband?
No, no, no. Yeah. But I mean, a lot of people just, like, they get selfish about those moments. But
yeah, and I thought I was going to see him. I can't see him now.
Right.
You know, when he starts to rally,
yeah,
gets a little better. Going to go down there. You know, try to cheer him up,
yeah,
see how he's doing. He's going to look like a hot mess, but he always looks like a hot mess. That's just Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis looks like a hot mess. Dennis walking, I mean, when we were in Iraq or any time, Dennis walking is, his head's tilted to the side, sweat is pouring off of his forehead.
Yes.
His belly is hanging out of his Yankee shirt, and he has a slight waddle. And that's just fucking Dennis.
That's what he always looked like.
As long as I've known him, which is close to 20, he looks like a hot mess, but he's cool as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, and I figure, all right, well, Dennis is going to look a little more hot messy.
Right, right.
Next time I see him. And I don't get the chance to see him.
That just blows.
Yeah. No, that stinks, you know. Unfortunately, you can't get to see the person, you know,
yeah,
say what you feel, you know. And it's, you know, it shocked a lot, you know, it shocked a lot of it. I mean, Dennis was a really good guy. I remember, you know, doing a lot of gigs with Dennis. I also remember he also knew where the best stuff to eat was. I mean, we were coming back.
We were in Ohio.
And he goes, all right, stop over in Toledo. There's a
was
hot.
I don't know where the fuck
it was.
It was
Toledo because Klinger lives there. I remember Klinger lived there. And he goes, there's a hot dog place in Toledo. Really, really good. And he was on the road, too, so he was 2 hours ahead of us. He goes, where are you guys? I go, well, you know, we're like, we're here. And all right, you're 2 hours behind me. He goes, I'm at the exit now. It's exit so-and-so-and-so. Go in, you know.
Dennis always knew, like, these little places to live. Yeah. Things that made Dennis happy were hot dogs and having his hair cut. Mm. He's like, hey, man, I think I'm going to go get my hair cut, feel good. I'm like, okay, man. Like, I never knew anybody who got emotionally uplifted by a haircut.
No, not
but
really.
But when Dennis wasn't feeling good about whatever he wasn't feeling good about,
mm-hmm,
a haircut would cheer him up. And there's something really sweet that's something so simple.
Yeah, really. I mean, there's sometimes things that people do that it's like, well, you know what, if that floats your boat... it doesn't do it for me, but
yeah, and
more
also,
power to you.
Also, when you're on the road, I didn't work the road like to the extent, hardly that much, but you know, when with David, especially Dennis, when I do go on the road, or I go on the road with David, or I do go on the road, your perception of time is, you don't know what day of the week it is. You don't have an idea where you are, but just your reality of where you are and what you're doing, it's a different way of life. And when you're sick,
it's
must
really
be really,
hard.
Really rough.
I've been sick on the road, but not the
constant. I saw it.
And I'm not the same, but I wasn't in the constant discomfort that he was. He traveled with toilet paper because of Crohn's disease.
Right.
You
right.
know, it certainly made traveling with Dennis an adventure, and we did travel a lot of places. But, I mean, just on a personal note for me, you know, I had another friend. I had a couple road warrior guys that do what I do, and this isn't a knock on Joe or anybody else that does comedy, but doesn't do it the way we do it. Not that one's better than the other, but this is how we made our living. And I kind of shifted out of that a few years ago. I'm kind of easing back into it, but not the way I was. I used to be gone a lot.
Yeah.
There's a certain...
Oh. Okay. Trucker Tom wants to know if Tony Paco's was the hot dog place.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, Davin. It's Buddy Flip.
Hey, Buddy. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. Buddy was another good friend.
Yeah, hey, Buddy. How's it going? Joe Curry.
Hi.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
How's it going, pal?
And the other co-host is Pip Helix.
Hi, Pip.
Hi.
So I was in the middle of telling a story about Dennis sharing a memory, but I'm gonna give the floor to you, and then I'll double back.
okay. I was working with Dennis in Pennsylvania in a town called Shamokin at the Coal Hole. That was the name of the place, the Coal Hole.
Sounds
oh,
nice.
Oh, boy.
It was Dennis's gig, and I was opening for him. I did 30 minutes, and then Dennis was to do 45 minutes. He did 30 minutes and then told the audience that he had to go to the bathroom and he was going to leave the stage. And he did. He left the stage.
Wow.
He was gone for about 10 minutes or so, came back, sat down with me at the table. He said, do you think I should go back and finish up? I go, yeah, why not? He goes, the audience was fine. He went back up. Did 10, 15 minutes, and everything was great.
You know, it's funny. I got a similar story like that with Dennis, too. He was actually working for me. he was closing a show that I, but I wasn't there. I had another gig.
Right.
But I just stopped in to see how the show was going. And Dennis sees me in the back of the room. He's like, hey, man, I got to go to the bathroom. You want to jump on stage and do a few minutes? I'm like, okay, I guess that's what I'm going to do. And about like 10, I was up there for like 10, 15 minutes. And then Den came back, did what he needed to do, as he would say, get myself straight. And he came back and finished out the show.
You know, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
When I first met him, we were at the Princess Royale in Maryland, Ocean City.
Sure, we used to book it together, Dennis and I.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we were sharing the condo. He was doing a different place. I was doing the Princess Royale for Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I met him. And he was so funny. He was like, "Let's go get something to eat." So we go to get something to eat. We're at McDonald's, and he's like holding his stomach. He's going, "Oh, my stomach's killing. I got such a stomachache. I'll have a double cheeseburger. Oh, my stomach's killing. I'll have fries."
No.
That was the very first time I met him.
That's the weird thing. That's the weird thing about Dennis. Like, he had a bad stomach, but he didn't. He didn't think there was any transference of what the crap he was eating.
Yeah.
No.
When we were in Asia, he was in a bad way. We were in Japan, and we were pretty much living off of chicken on a stick. At least we hoped it was chicken. and you know, but we weren't getting a lot of the local cuisine because Dennis was very picky about local things, because you know, it was the markets were very fresh. I mean, they were in the tanks. You could pick what you wanted.
Yeah.
Right.
And all the menus were in Japan or Korean, whichever country we were in.
Right.
And they had a picture, and like they show the picture of the food, and every picture had an animal's head in the middle of it.
Oh my god!
Which was not very enticing to Dennis or myself, to be honest with you. But I remember we were there. Dennis like, "Hey man, let's get McDonald's." I'm like, "Really? The McDonald's? We're in Japan, and you want to get McDonald's?" For some reason, Dennis trusted the gray meat that is McDonald's.
That's funny.
Well, it was the same. It's the same, you know, food everywhere you go, right? No matter where you are, it's the same green meat.
That's what he was. That's the premise he was going by.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah, it's not always, but.
I hate to sound hokey, but I got to tell you, I was, you know, last couple of days you're online. There's tons of tributes to the guy, hundreds of tributes to him, and I got to say, you know, I think, I think one of Dennis's greatest things was that he really made everyone feel like they were his best friend.
Yeah, you're right.
Know?
Well,
so many people said that about him. So many people, you know, it's like that's the kind of guy he was. He was so. You just connected with him, you know?
I think that was part of a transformation that occurred when I got to know him, because I got to know him, and I posted a little bit about this on his Facebook page. I got to know Dennis about close to 20 years ago. I was just breaking into the business. By then, Dennis was already an established act, an established headliner.
Mm-hmm.
But people who I trusted, who don't need to be named and everything, they warned me to stay away from Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis had a reputation. Part of it might be because he was a booker. You know,
I'll tell you what it was. It was because when I started, Dennis had just sort of finished doing all this booking with Phil Selman. The two of them were like a team. It was Phil Selman. This is what we're talking about. I started in '90. This is like the late '80s.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil and Dennis booked something like 30, 35 one-nighters at one point. And apparently, you know, the story goes, apparently they were. Taking too much of the budget, not giving enough to the comics. Comics got worse. The rooms got pissed off, and they lost a lot of the rooms. And around 90, when I showed up, people were sort of saying bad things about the both of them.
Right.
You know. As time passed, I don't know that much about Phil, but I can tell you, as time passed, I saw nothing but wonderfulness from Dennis. I can't imagine the same guy. You know, I mean, it's easy for me to say, you know, it's the other guy's fault, but I didn't see it from Dennis.
Well, I know Phil too. And, you know, I was warned about Phil, and I've had nothing but good experiences, too, with Phil. But I remember people told me to stay away from Dennis. So I didn't trust him. But I was going to give him the opportunity. And then he started hiring me for some stuff. And, you know, we became closer. And then I started hiring him for some stuff because I was booking him. But if I wasn't there, I would have my wife keep an eye on him because I didn't trust him. And then you progress through our relationship. I would have Dennis running my rooms for me.
Absolutely.
Because Dennis, I know he changed because we would be talking about something, like about like earlier when we were together, about something he did at a show, and I go, well, you know, man, I don't know if that was right. Maybe you should have done this. Maybe that's why that person's upset at you. Maybe that's why their feelings got hurt. How would you feel if that happened to you? And Dennis, and this is a sign of a good person, a good, intelligent person. Dennis would take this in, consider it, and see and go, you know what? You have a point. And he would mend the fence. He would apologize where he thought he did something wrong.
Wow.
I mean, that's the man he grew into. And I'm just so pleased, as Buddy said, that, you know, look, there's hundreds of tributes to this guy.
Wow.
And yeah. I'm so happy that the guy that Buddy and I knew all these years was appreciated by all these people in a different way than he was 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, because my only
criticism of Dennis would be he was a bad partner picker, because first it was Phil and then it was Joe.
Not this show.
No, but what I'm saying is what I was gonna say is my first experience with Dennis is with Miller Ross.
Yeah,
when it was right. Miller, when they had the Miller, you know, the Ross group. You yeah. know, so it's like, and then I started working. You know, you would get things. I worked with Dennis. Like, he's a pretty good guy. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, with Miller Ross, if there was a problem, it was Miller. I mean, I'll say it. I don't give a. This is
the non-FCC part of the show. Yeah, but I mean, that's really how. I mean, I think I met Dennis with you, Pip.
Yes.
And he wasn't the nicest guy when we met him. He was a little cocky.
No, he was a little rough around the edges.
A little rough around the edges. But yeah. He didn't know us. We were just some open micers.
Just micers. Yeah.
No, I mean, it was fine. A little cocky. A little full of himself.
Yeah, he was looking at us like, who are these douchebags? But, you know, so I didn't really get to know him the way that you did.
Right. And then I wound up working for him on a gig with Miller Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened for him, and it was a good show. And his buddy said we found a shitty restaurant. Well, I think we've actually found a gas station. And, like, we got food after the show, and Dennis is eating all these horrible things. But, I mean, I remember one of the first – I mean, Dennis took me on the road. We were driving up to Plattsburgh, which was a gig that he used to book, and I had my wife girlfriend at the time, wife now, and I'm driving Dennis's car. Unfortunately, I guess I was driving with the parking brake on. And Dennis was not pleased about that.
Because you're a dumbbell.
Yeah, but he didn't have to yell at me.
Of course he had to yell at you, you asshole. You had the parking brake on.
I didn't notice. I wasn't used to the car. And then I was doing...
Why won't this thing go?
I had a joke about Ethiopian restaurants. Of course I did.
Of course you did.
And so did Dennis. And I'm doing mine. I don't know if Dennis has this joke.
Right.
And Dennis is like, hey, that's my joke. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a different joke. So me and Dennis did not start off really well.
Right.
Yeah.
But we just started, we just started being together, and he was just one of the sweetest. He turned into be one of the sweetest guys. Because here's the thing about comedians. Comedians think, and I think you guys will agree, Joe and Buddy. We're told to think that in order to succeed, we must do better than the other guy. We're told it's a competition.
Yeah, I mean, as close as friends as we all are, you know, when that stage goes on, regardless of the position in the show, your job is to make it as tough as possible for the next guy to come on.
It's not. But I never looked at it as a competition, and I don't think Dennis did either. Dennis doing badly did not advance my career.
Yeah,
and me doing badly did not we were happy for each other's success, and I think Dennis was happy when anybody succeeded.
Yeah, he was. He was that kind of guy. He was very, you know, I don't know if it's the right word to say. He was very philosophical, but he was very, I don't know if that's the right word. He didn't hold grudges. He didn't seem to hold grudges, you know. Like, I mean, years after working with Phil, years after working with Joe, he never seemed to have any, you know, bad things to say about it. You know, he just sort of took what life gave him and he moved on, you know.
I think a big influence on Dennis. I think I had some influence on him, but I think a big influence on him was his wife.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think his wife Deb really calmed him down, really made him focus. Because then his wife's family moved in with him, and then he loved her kids, and then he loved, you know, her. Then became his grandkids. It really gave something Dennis to put in perspective. Now, don't get me wrong, Dennis loved comedy. Dennis was a true comedy road warrior, but it gave him something else in life, some other happiness besides the stage.
That's the other thing. A lot of times, you know, you focus on the stage to provide your happiness, And sometimes that ain't the case. You could be doing great and have, you know, followers and stuff like that, but there's that sense of being with a family, having people around you off stage.
Absolutely. I did the same thing. Yeah. I feel very much like Dennis. I didn't get married until I was 43. Mm. I married a woman who had children already. This is, you know, 13 years. I'm 56 now. So, yes, I mean, in the last 15 years or so, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I think I've become more grown up. I think I've become a little more mature. I hope. I don't know.
Well, I didn't know you beforehand, but I think you're pretty mature in an immature way.
Funny.
Yeah. I just think that's part of life. I mean, I used to believe for a long time that comedy was it. You know, that all I needed was stand up and nothing else was going to. And then, I don't know, as time passed, I think it's a natural thing to feel like, you know, maybe there's more to life than just the stage. And the reality is life, to me anyway, life is about balance. Part of balance is a family life, you know, there's stuff like that. And I think, yeah, that kind of influence really helps you, you know, especially if you're older, a guy like Dennis or a guy like me.
Yeah.
That's actually the advice I give to young comics. When the last, can you give me advice? Because I learned not to give advice unless I'm asked. I've learned that the hard way. Mm-hmm. So I don't usually offer advice. But that's one of the things I go, don't let comedy be your life. It's
right.
Fun. It's your career, maybe, but have something else in your life.
Yeah. And like in my relationship with my wife, I mean, there was a lot. My wife let me go out and do stand up every weekend. So all the bad stuff that was going on in my marriage, I put under the rug because I was allowed to do stand up during the weekend. But let me tell you something. Having an adult relationship with somebody is very important. And that stuff couldn't stay under the rug anymore. You know, so it's, yeah, so comedy is comedy, but still you need, you know, you need to interaction with family.
Well,
and bookers like married guys.
Do they?
Yeah.
It's all part of the strategy.
Because it shows, like, you know, a degree, they think it shows a degree of maturity, you know.
I should be getting booked a lot more.
you should be getting married a lot more.
I'll become Mormon. I'll make it happen.
There you go. That's a guy that has a show on TV with four wives.
Yeah, why not? Everybody for a TV credit. but I mean, like I was saying when you called, buddy. I mean, and you've kind of shifted out of this too, and you have to. There's not a lot of people that do this full time on our level that aren't superstars but are touring. Comics,
right, just working guys.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, I had a couple of those guys in my life. One I had a falling out with, who I'm not going to mention on the air. Another one of those guys was Ray Panetti, and then, you know, Ray's been sick for years, you know, and he's not what he was. I'll just leave it like that due to health issues. And it was Dennis, the type of guy or girl, whoever happens to be in your life, but Dennis was this for me, and I was this for him too. Where you could just call him up and go, man, you're not going to believe the bullshit I'm dealing with.
Mm.
And you know the person on the other end, first of all, they're going to laugh. Because it's so absurd, but there's empathy, mm-hmm. and there's understanding, and you don't have to explain the backstory,
right?
Because it's like anything, like with any job, you have that shared understanding. I don't have to tell Dennis, well, you know what it's like, because he does know, you know,
right.
The characters,
right.
You know, the bookers, the state, the clubs, you know, and you know, Dennis and I would be each other's sounding board.
Yeah,
sure.
And,
yeah,
you know, for me, it's really hard because I don't have anybody like that left.
Yeah, but like you said, there aren't a lot of guys like that. I mean, you got to talk. You're talking about guys, you know, seriously committed to it, because it's not, you know, for a guy like Dennis, and for me too. Being a little older, you know, we're past the window, you know,
right.
of the big time opportunity. Of course, anything could happen. We like to imagine at any moment, whatever.
Roddy,
but the reality is, you get to a certain age, and that window gets tiny.
Yes.
And so, why are guys driving? Why are guys like Dennis driving all over the country? Because they just love it. Because it's their passion.
And they have to. And I listen, it was getting harder for Dennis. The health was becoming more of an issue. He was starting to get tired of chasing the work. You know,
right.
But the thing that Dennis never lost was the passion to perform and the passion for other comics. I mean,
Right, absolutely.
It just boils down to, this is what we do. This, you know, it's in the blood, it's in the genes. This is what we do, you know, no matter.
You know, I'm going to say something very dangerous, okay? You know, we're good at it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to do something you're good at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, the thing with Dennis was, Dennis and I have a habit of getting in trouble for shit that's beyond our control.
Yes.
I mean, and we had that in common. Because Dennis would be banned from places for no good reason. And I get banned from places for no good reason.
For absurd reasons.
And Dennis would get confused. People would confuse Dennis with somebody else and not like Dennis because of somebody else for no good reason. Like, it's happened to me. So Dennis and I, we had that shared bond of fucking absurdity. And, you know, I would try to be an advocate for him. I know he was an advocate for others. I'm sure he was for me, too, where I'd be like, talking to people, either my venue or some, or like a booker. And like, oh, you know, the client complained that that you know Dennis didn't look well. I asked, well, but how did he do? Is he funny? Yeah. I go, then what are you bitching about?
He's not teaching a health seminar. Yeah. He's telling dick jokes.
Yeah.
I mean,
fuck. You paid him to be funny.
The guy doesn't hire ugly comics. He just hires healthy, beautiful comics.
But this was becoming a problem for Dennis, and I think he knew it. That people were judging him by his health. Because like we talked about before you got in, you know, Dennis on a good day was a hot mess. I mean, that was just Den. But he would still hit the stage, and occasionally I guess he needed a shit break. But for the most part, that wasn't the case. No matter how much Dennis was suffering with pain and discomfort, he gave the folks a hell of a show.
Yeah,
and it's hard to somebody pointed this out. It wasn't my point. I think it was Dave Riley. It's hard to command an audience as it is when you're standing and you're pacing and doing all that. Dennis would command it from being slumped over on a stool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wasn't a loud
guy. I never thought
of
that. That's a great observation. I never thought of that.
Yeah, and he wasn't a loud guy. You know, he would just fire off jokes, but he would command a room. So it was a testament to the performer that he was, and it would just bother me that he would get shit with stuff. I actually said to one of the places, I go, well, you know, they would go, oh, well, you know, he didn't look good. He was sick, blah, blah, blah. He couldn't walk. I go, wait a minute. If you're complaining that he's handicapped, that's illegal. I can't stop.
Yeah, right, really.
I can't stop booking people for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why would you if he's funny?
Well, you know, unfortunately for people, the appearance or what seeps into what they think the performance was, even though the vast majority of the people enjoyed it. Ugh. And it was just a struggle. But I want to share. You know, Dennis and I, we didn't just travel the country together. I mean, for a long time, I was Dennis's opener.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, listen, if you get better, and that's part of the business. If you get better, you're no longer seeing your friend a lot.
Yeah.
That's a reality, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was no longer Dennis's opener because it didn't make financial sense. We were playing the same places in the same positions. And that's one of the tragedies of getting better at comedy. But Dennis and I did travel overseas together as equals. We did the same time. We would flip-flop. We went to Iraq and Kuwait together. But the story I want to tell is about when Dennis and I were in Japan and Korea together. That was our first international tour together. So we're in – I want to say it's Osan, but I'm not sure. We're in Korea. South, the good ones, not the bad ones. We're in Korea. Now – they don't always put you on a military base. When you're in Iraq and Kuwait, you're always on a base because it's fucking dangerous.
Yeah. Yes, please guard me.
Yes.
I'd like men with guns outside. Thank you.
Yes, but Japan and Korea, sometimes you're on base, sometimes you're not. So after taking this long, awful bus drive all day, because that's what you wanted to take a fucking Korean bus.
How did he do on the bus ride? How did Dennis do in the
bus? I don't remember any shit stops, so I think we were fine. He was probably very uncomfortable. Dennis was never comfortable, but that was just Dennis.
Yeah.
But so we get to it, and we're in a hooker hotel. I know it's a hooker hotel for several reasons. First of all, there's hooker business cards on the front stairs.
Subtle.
Yes. And my first reaction is I'm impressed, because for hookers to have business cards, these must be some highfalutin hookers.
Really?
Yeah, really.
So I'm impressed with this. Now, we walk in, and there's vending machines. But it's not soda or pop, as Dennis's wife would call it, being from West Virginia, or snacks. Instead, there's sex toys in there, in the vending machines.
In the vending machine.
In the vending machine.
Did you see the dildo get stuck because it couldn't slide through the hole?
I was stick your arm up,
trying to grab.
Stuck on one of those coils.
The ball got stuck in the spring. Fuck.
French ticklers, dildos, all this type of shit is in the vending machines in the hotel where we're staying, right outside the base, by the way.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So so I walk into my room, and Dennis is following by. The manager shows me my room first, and I walk in, and the manager starts screaming at me in Korean.
Uh-oh.
Why? Because I didn't take off my fucking shoes, and I offended him.
Excuse me. When I walked past the French tickler display, I didn't know that I was supposed to take my shoes
off.
Yeah,
a show of respect by me.
Yeah.
So they had, like, only a handful of channels, and they were all in Korean. One of them was, like, a sex channel, like a Korean sex channel.
Excellent.
So, not really, though.
Oh, no?
Because they would just show these Korean women, like licking a zucchini. I mean, it was like an hour of her licking like vegetables. And, like, it didn't make me horny. It made me hungry.
It was actually a really strange cooking show.
Yes.
You got it all wrong.
I did get it.
There was no zucchini in the vending machine, was there?
It's hard to keep them fresh, buddy. So Dennis somehow, in this hotel, managed to pick up an eye infection. I don't know what Dennis rubbed on his eye.
Oh. He was touching things.
Yeah, but as only Dennis could do, he picked up an eye infection.
Oh, God.
So we're outside of this base, and we're by this huge market where I got my Jets jersey, because you get all the Korean, like, knockoff shit.
Well, God, like, that's funny.
You know, the coach bag with an E at the end of it.
Yeah, coach.
It said Yets.
Yeah, it said Yets. Yeah. Like, you get all this stuff, like, this big market. Like, I needed new luggage, and I bought, like, this huge bag, and that lasted a trip. And so we're in this big market, and Dennis would send me out to get food sometimes, because even then he wasn't walking well. So I had to fucking find a pizza place for Dennis in the middle of Korea.
Korean pizza.
I got him back. But, you know, you do this for Dennis.
Yeah.
I love Dennis. You do this for Dennis. But there's this prostitute, an older prostitute, and the soldiers called her Wanago. Wanago.
Wanago?
Wanago.
Want to go?
Yes. Because when you would walk by, she would offer, want to go.
Want to go?
Yes.
Want to go?
So she's this older Korean fucking prostitute.
Oh,
and all the soldiers know about her. Now, I'm going out a lot. You know, I'm checking out the stores. I'm always more mobile than Dennis.
Right.
When I travel with Dennis, I knew I was going to have to do a lot of this stuff alone because, you know, Dennis just wasn't a mobile guy.
Yeah.
You know, I wish he would have been, but he couldn't. But next thing I know, Wanago is following me all over the place. Wherever I go, I'm being fucking tailed by this Korean prostitute. Very friendly, by the way.
I'm sure.
But Wanago and smiling and everything. And I just thought, well, she must think I look like the type of guy that needs a Korean hooker. I don't know.
She really thought you wanted to go.
Years later, Dennis reveals to me that he told Wanago that I really liked her and I'm just shy.
No!
Really?
So that was Dennis when we were in I've told this story before. When we were in Iraq and Korea, we had to wear Kevlar vests when you fly in the Blackhawks because it's fucking a war zone. But when you were on the base, you didn't have to, although they strongly recommended it, because people had died just a few weeks before we were there from missiles coming onto the base. So Dennis and I are trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Are we going to wear the Kevlar on base? Because you're walking around, but it's very uncomfortable.
Sure.
So Dennis had this reasoning, and I always found it very difficult to argue with. He goes, well, man, there's a chance we could die from a missile. But we know these Kevlar vests are uncomfortable. And with that reason, we decide to go without the fucking vests.
I can kind of see the logic in that.
It made perfect sense to me at the time. I mean, so that was just dead. I got a hole in my life that's not going to be filled. I don't make friends easily. First of all, people disappoint me.
Mm-hmm.
People disappoint me. And at this point, I don't offer myself up to make friends. But Dennis was one of my best friends in the world, and he's gone. It sucks.
That is really terrible. I mean, I like the stories that you guys were telling about him. I didn't get to see that part of him. I only knew the rough around the edges tough guy when we first met him, and I didn't know. Well, I like these stories a lot. It sounds like he was fun to hang with.
He was a great guy.
I'm sorry he's gone.
Yeah, he was a sweet, sweet guy. I mean, that's my memory of him. He was just a sweet guy. When I met him in the 90s. I think I met him around 95 or something like that. It was after Phil, before Joe. And he was, to me anyway, as far as I could tell, he was already a sweet guy. I don't think I really saw the rough around the edge guy. And he was always like that. And it was so weird, like a lot of people who you're friends with. And you know, I don't, kind of like you, Devin, I don't make friends easy. And I always sort of remember that I'm in comedy first. I'm not, you know, I don't have delusions, you know. We're all friendly with each other. But we're still kind of co-workers, you know.
It's acquaintances. Yeah. It's acquaintances. Yeah. You get forced together for a week or a weekend, and you might not see this person for another 8 years.
But Dennis definitely, you know, I made a connection with him, and we were friends. I wouldn't think twice about saying that. And sometimes I would see him a bunch of times, and I wouldn't see him for like 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
And then I would, you know, we'd talk once in a while, and then I'd see him again. And I guess I was lucky because I saw him last month. You know, I had a gig. I had a last-minute fallout for a feature. And he was going to drive to Iowa for, like, you know, an incredibly insane low amount of money because it was supposed to be 4 days. It got cut down to 2 days. And he was still going to go.
I know.
You know, that's the kind of guy he was. He was still going to drive to frickin' Iowa to honor his commitment. And I said, Dennis, you know, I need a feature, and I think the money for the feature was the same as what he was going to get for, you know, the 2 nights. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to bail out of Iowa, and he did, and we had a nice time in Carteret, New Jersey. And I guess I was very lucky to get a chance to hang with him one more time.
Mm. Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, the last time I hired him was a few months ago, but I wasn't there. I mean, I had a gig someplace else. I don't know the last time. You know, I saw him. I talked to him.
Yeah.
I hadn't talked to him as much in the past couple of months, but I'm just really bad at calling people.
But people like Dennis, people who are your real friends, you know, I don't want to sound callous. It doesn't matter. They're your friends. You know, you love them. They love you. And that's the way it's going to be. If you don't talk to them for 2 months or 6 months or a year, you know, that's how it is. You know, that's how we know it is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's better in a way to lose somebody and you know how where you stood with them and you didn't have any undone business. It wasn't complicated. You knew that you were friends. You knew that you loved each other. Or even if it was unspoken, you knew it. And it's almost better, even if you don't get a chance to see them one last time. You always want one last time, but it you know, and you don't get to do that sometimes. But you knew where you stood, and it's better that way, that you can just, like, you know, talk about them, remember them, enjoy them for who they were in your life, and miss them.
Yeah, I think a great thing. I think the thing that says everything about Dennis is, like I said, the tributes, the social media tributes, and the fact that there's a handful of us, you know, talking about him on the radio. You know, that, you know, no disrespect. A lot of people pass away; they don't get this kind of attention because they didn't create this kind of goodwill.
Yeah.
And create this friendship with all these people.
Yeah, I hope he realizes what I'm actually going to do when we take our break, which we're going to do for a second. I play stuff on the break, but I never include it in the podcast version of the show. But when we take our break, I'm going to play some of Dennis's comedy, and I'm going to leave it in the podcast version. So
good thing.
It's going to be on iHeart and iTunes and all that good stuff, and of course our website. So
great. Great.
Yeah. Are you going to be there tomorrow, funeral?
I will be there tomorrow.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All
right.
Thanks for calling in and sharing stories with us.
No problem. I don't know what to say. It's, you know, we've been through this. Most of us have been through this one way or another before, but you can hear me. Sometimes I'm just speechless, you know. Here's the worst thing I'm going to say. It seems like it's always guys like Dennis. I know it's 100 rotten asshole comics it should have been, but no, Dennis, you know?
Well, and to be a devil's advocate, I do know a couple of asshole comics that have died. And I really, as terrible as this sounds, I know people were saying wonderful things about it. I kept my mouth shut, but I'm like, I don't fucking miss them at all.
It's
damn it, I'm laughing so hard because I can think of two.
I'm sure we'll compare notes tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the same guys.
No, but there are, and it's funny, when I would encounter one of these asshole comics, Dennis would be one of the first people I would call and go, dude, what do I do? I mean, less and less it was what do I do, because we became equals and everything. But he was a mentor to me at one point.
Yeah.
And it just, but like, we would just commiserate and fuck and laugh about it. And I remember this one particular person who's now fucking dead good. Dennis didn't like him either, so I know I was right.
Yeah. Gavin, you shouldn't speak. You should only speak good of the dead. He's dead. Good.
I remember we were doing this one gig. Dennis and I, he brought me with him to open in Florida. And we were having the shows were okay. But it was like, it was a beautiful club. But it was known for being kind of run badly and by assholes.
Oh, great.
One of the owners was cool, but he wasn't there. The two owners that were there, Brothers Grimm, were assholes. And our week was going all right. But I got fired midweek. And I think it was like the first time I ever got fired. I got fired midweek, and they said my shows weren't good. But they were good up that point.
Huh.
But then I wound up becoming a guest spot or something. And it was really fucking weird. But I remember the last show we did sucked dick. And Dennis and I even said to ourselves afterwards, "Go, well, if they would have judged us on this show, I would understand it." Because tonight we did. But I remember, like, I fucking struggled, and I'm sitting at the bar with another comic there. And Dennis is on stage, because I ate my dick. And Dennis is on stage, and people are streaming out. And I just go to the other comic. I go, "Well, that ain't good." And Dennis comes off stage, finally finishes up this train wreck, and he goes, "Listen, I just didn't want to be the last one in the club." I mean, so that was Dennis. Even when we were eating our fucking dick, he could make me laugh.
That's funny.
I had to quit before they were all gone.
That was it.
Oh, my God.
It was weird. The show that he – the story he was going to tell on the Hell Geeks thing that I was going to do with him, and buddy, we'll try to get you on if this thing takes off. The story he wanted to tell was actually a Hell Gig that he did for me. He felt this was a Hell Gig. I used to – Joe, I'm sure you've done the gig when I had it. I don't think you ever did it, buddy. I had the JCC Singles Group.
Oh, no, I never did that.
Yeah, you're lucky. You might have done that, Joe. I don't know. I don't know if you did. But I hired Dennis to do it on a weeknight for the JC Singles in a classroom setting, which is not good for comedy, with the bright lights and the desk. But this is a gig I've done, and I know how to do this gig because I'm just a different style.
Wait a minute. Was this one of those gigs that they didn't have alcohol at either?
No, there was no alcohol. No,
why would there be? Yeah. Or should there be any fun at all in this fucking show?
I think there was bagels and cake.
Oh, we'll be having no fun whatsoever. Sit there and take it.
If it was a JCC, there was cake.
Yes, there was cake.
Funny.
And Dennis is, and I've done this gig, and I've done it well. That's why I keep on getting hired back, mm-hmm. and that's why I became the booker. Right. So I hired Dennis to do it. But it wasn't going well for Den. And as Den described it, he goes, "Yeah, I guess I didn't have experience performing for Jewish damaged singles." And Dennis always sweats. Dennis, that's just Dennis. He was a sweaty guy.
Yes.
You know, little chest hair coming out of the top of his shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. It could be three people, two walking out, or it could be a full house of 500, and he's destroying his same look on stage. Yeah.
But Dennis is sweating, and this is not going well. And Dennis comes off, and I'm not going to read him the riot act. He's my pal, and I know how tough this gig is.
Yeah.
I'll handle the people bitching on the way, because that's my job,
right.
and everything. I'm not going to – but I know Dennis is trying. But
yeah.
Dennis goes, "I could feel the sweat running down the crack of my ass."
That's a rough one.
Yeah, and this is a man that you know, one. Even in good times, as we said, sweats a lot. Yeah.
Funny.
Buddy,
I gotta say, I don't remember Dennis ever doing poorly. Actually,
it happened.
But you worked on a lot more than I did.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all do poorly. We all have those shows.
Yeah, we all have those songs. Yeah,
and you know, and
I've had them. I just don't remember Dennis having them. But like I said, you worked on them a lot more than I did. I started in '90. Dennis was already headlining.
Right. That's what I said. By the time I came around, which was the late '90s, and met Dennis, he was already established.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was an MC who Dennis was giving feature work to, and fortunately, I could do it. I could pull it off. I remember when we were down in North Carolina, we're doing a Mexican restaurant one-nighter during the week. Of course we were. and it still sticks with me. Like he said, like I have an awful memory, but he said things that stick with me. We get out of the car and he looks at me and goes, "This is a fine looking shithole." It was just stuff like that. That's why I love traveling with him. And last time I spoke to Dennis, he's like, "Yeah, we got to do something together." And I knew unless I booked it and I hired him, it wasn't going to happen because we were in the same slot.
Yeah. That makes it difficult. Yeah.
It does, but yeah.
He, I'll tell you another quick thing, what a classy guy he was. he did a joke in his act, you know?
One?
Well, the one I remember he did.
Yes.
It was the punchline was the kid says, "Don't fuck with my own man when he's drinking." That's the punchline of the joke.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah. So what happened was I occasionally did a joke, and I think unbeknownst to Dennis or myself, I picked up the same joke,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we did a gig together, and I only did the joke in case I did real poorly.
Right.
You know, I would do the joke towards the end if I was doing – or and this is going to sound crazy – if I had a really great set, I mean a really great rocking set, and I felt a real connection with the audience, I would tell them the joke at the end. It was kind of like a little extra. Here's something extra because I love you people so much. I was working with Dennis. I did the joke, and I didn't know he did it too. And after the show, he said, you know, he goes, I do that joke in my act too sometimes. I go, really? And he goes, I got to tell you. He goes, you do it better than I do.
And that that is saying something. Because
exactly. I almost fell over. You know, what comedian do you know does that?
Well, there's a couple things on that. First of all, Dennis prided himself on being able to deliver a joke, and he could. I can't do it. And Dennis was damn good at delivering these jokes. So for him to give you that compliment, you must have really delivered the hell out of that, buddy.
Well, what a gracious man to, you know, say to another, oh, the comics never say, oh, you did that better than me. I mean, how many times, I've heard so many comics go, oh, that guy's got a joke like mine, mine's better, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, really? No, that is remarkable for somebody to do that. Actors will often say to each other that they did well in a scene or they admire something that the other one did, but I don't see comedians do that very often.
Well, you know, I think Dennis did that, and why Dennis would go to these gigs that hardly paid anything. He loved the craft. He loved comedy.
Yeah, he did.
And it's something that you can't explain to civilians. The love of this business, even though it'll run you through the ringer, the love of being a stand-up, the craft of doing the joke, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that we have. It's, you know, and you love it. You love the people. You know, sometimes there's always rough spots, but you love your pals that are doing it. You love being in the room with the guys. You love the adventures and stuff like that. It's the whole, and he loved it. He loved it as much as we did.
I think that's a great. I think that's a great place to leave this. I think you said it very well, Joe. I'm going to play Dennis on the break so everybody could get a little taste of just how funny and how gifted he was, buddy. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your memories of our pal.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you,
Dennis.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's nice to be able to talk about him.
You're welcome, and we'll pay our respects tomorrow, and I'm sure share some tears and share some laughs.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
Good night,
take
guys.
Care, take
I'll
care.
See you
Bye-bye.
Guys.
Thanks. All right, we're gonna go to break, but on the.
He's all the way from Jersey. Give a nice round of applause for Dennis Ross.
Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Dennis Ross. Ladies and gentlemen, your headliner, the always hilarious Dennis Ross.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dennis Ross. Dennis Ross.
Getting old too, man. I go to my house today, which is normal, and my kid goes, somebody drowned in a lake near the house. I go, that's horrible, Kevin. He goes, he drowned in 12 feet of water. I'm like, why do I need that information? Why does it matter to me how much water the guy drowned in? And then I realize why people say it. They say it because if you tell enough people some guy drowned, there's always some jackass who says, you know, you could drown in an inch of water. Did I say that in the summer? You could drown in an inch of... You'd have to be a special kind of stupid for that to happen. What would that be like, you drown in an inch of water? I'd be like, help. Pick up your head. I thought I was laying down next to my wife. She goes, we're no longer spooning, we're ladling now. You say stupid things to your friend. You lose some, you lose your keys. Your friend's going, what are you doing? Oh, I can't find my keys. Then they call you back when you find them. Oh, I found them. And they were in the last place I looked. I hope so. All right, let me tell you something. You're looking for stuff, and you find it, and then you go, oh, too easy. You better call somebody. sex stuff. You know, I'm talking about you buying like oils and underwear and stuff. With Fantasia, okay. They call it something different everywhere. It wouldn't be funny, except I tell you, it's my friend Diane, she's 450, and she bought edible underwear. And yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I just keep thinking about her boyfriend having oral sex with her and saying things like. I wish I could hang out. Come see me afterwards. Thanks a lot.